Hi, and welcome to this episode of Teen Health Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Jacqueline Dujay from the Howard County Health Department. I'm here with our special guest today, Dr. Melissa Houston, an adolescent medicine specialist and also a doctor at the Wild Lake High School School-Based Wellness Center. So welcome, Dr. Houston.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're excited to have you today. All right, so today's episode, we're going to talk about debunking the myths about sexually transmitted infections, or also known as STIs. So, you know, one big myth is that you can't get STIs from having sex just once. Is that true or not true?
That is not true.
Okay.
If you have sex once with a partner who has any of the STIs or sexually transmitted infections like chlamydia, gonorrhea, or syphilis, you've got about a 30% chance that you're going to pick up one of those infections.
Okay, so yeah, one time you can get an STI. So that's important to know. And does it make a difference about how many partners you have in terms of contracting an STI?
Well, the more partners you have, you increase your chances of getting an STI because you increase the chances of having sex with someone who has an STI. So yes, that is true.
And does it make a difference if the partner that you're having sex with, if they have multiple partners, does that make a difference at all?
It does. Because your partner, I've heard the analogy described once that you are having sex with all of the people that your partner is having sex with, particularly if they're not having protected sex with their partners.
Okay. So hopefully our listeners out there will take that information to heart. Now, who's more likely to get an STI? Do teens have to worry about STIs, or is it mostly an adult disease?
No. Teens are at greater risk for catching an STI just because of the biology of how they're made up internally, particularly young women. Their cells are more at risk for catching an infection. And also, young people have several risk factors that make them at risk for catching an STI more than adults. One, they may be embarrassed to talk to their physician or healthcare provider about STIs or about their sexual activity and what they're engaging in. They're less likely to be tested than their adult counterparts. And sometimes they may have transportation issues. So they may want to go and get tested, but they don't have the means to get there. So they're at greater risk for a variety of reasons.
So you talk about one reason why some teens aren't tested is because they're afraid to talk to their healthcare provider. Do you have any suggestions for how a teen can engage with their provider or maybe their parent or some trusted adult so that they can get screened and tested?
Absolutely. So it is so much better to speak with a trusted adult or healthcare provider to make sure that you're getting the facts. Yeah, sometimes friends may tell you things that they heard that might be some of the myths that we're discussing today. And one of the things that I would tell young adults and teens is adults have been through it. They've probably seen it all or heard it all. So there's not much that you could tell a trusted adult or a healthcare provider that would embarrass them. So I think that once you've put that out of your mind, you could discuss any question that you may have. And even if they don't have the answer right away for you, I am sure they'll be able to direct you to someone who has the answer or say that they will look it up and get back to you.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, I think for a lot of people think that you can tell if someone has a disease, right? Is that true? Can you tell by looking at someone that they have an STI?
So I've heard that one too, Dr. Dujay, and that is not true. Most STIs don't have any outward signs or symptoms, but they're still very serious. So you can't look at someone and say they have one and they don't.
Okay. And then in terms of how you can contract an STI, is it only through sexual contact or are there other ways that you can get an STI?
So there are some STIs that are transmitted through oral, vaginal, or anal sexual intercourse, but there are also others that are transmitted through skin-to-skin contact. So you need to be very careful. It's not just the intercourse that could cause transmission of an STI.
So can you share with us what those STIs are that can be transmitted from skin-to-skin contact?
There are two serious STIs that can be transmitted through skin-to-skin contact, herpes and syphilis.
And those are treatable, right? And those can be screened for as well, right?
So they can be screened for. They are treatable, but not all STIs are curable.
You know, another question that's come up for some young people is, can you acquire the same STI more than once?
Unfortunately, that is true. Okay. You can acquire the same STI more than once. In fact, you can get the same STI from the same partner over and over again unless you both go in and get tested and treated.
And I guess you said the two STIs that can be transmitted from skin to skin contact. You said herpes and syphilis. Now, how would someone contract herpes? You know, do they have to have the lesions at the time to be able to transmit it, or just someone who doesn't have any, again, those signs or symptoms, they can transmit herpes?
So while your chances are greater of contracting herpes if you see the lesions, even if you don't see them, you still have a chance of getting the virus, because research has shown that people are still shedding the herpes virus after the sore clears. So that's why it's very important to use a barrier protection like condoms or gentle dams when you're engaging in any sort of sexual activity.
Okay, so that brings up, you know, you talked about condoms as a way of prevention of STIs. So one question that's come up is, should you double up on condoms? Use two condoms at a time? Can you use two dental dams at a time? Does that make it more effective?
No. And I could imagine that it might make it a little more uncomfortable trying to use double, and I'm putting my double in quotes, protection. Mm-hmm. If you use a condom properly, one would be sufficient.
Okay. And what about those individuals that say they don't need a condom because they're using birth control? What would you say to that young person?
Well, first, I would applaud them for using an effective method of birth control. That's very important. But these are two separate issues. One, pregnancy prevention, and the second, sexually transmitted infection prevention. And so while the birth control is awesome for pregnancy prevention, it doesn't do a whole lot for STI prevention. And that's where condoms come in.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's very important, because I think that's what I know that definitely the pregnancy rates across the country and even in Howard County have come down. But we're also seeing, as pregnancy rates are coming down, STI rates are going up. So I guess, I mean, to me, that does say that people are using birth control, but it's the use of condoms and other preventive methods to prevent STIs, which seems to be the issue. So I think that's a very important point that you bring up, that, again, birth control is important and it's a very good choice. But then also using a barrier method is also important.
Absolutely.
So again, it goes back to that question. If you use contraception, you don't have to worry about STIs.
Not true. Okay. That is definitely a myth. Okay. Like we said before, pregnancy prevention and STI prevention are two different things, although both could happen from a sexual act. But condoms are highly effective at preventing STIs, whereas effective forms of hormonal contraception are highly effective at preventing pregnancies.
Okay. So another question that came up, another myth, is if he pulls out, you don't have a young lady doesn't have to worry about getting an STI or getting pregnant. Or I guess that would even be a male partners, female male partners. So what would you say to someone who believes that myth?
So I'd go back to something that we talked about before, that there are some STIs that you could get from skin-to-skin contact. You don't need penetration to get some STIs. So even if somebody, quote, pulls out, that still doesn't reduce your risk of contracting an STI.
So what about, you know, we talked about condoms for prevention, dental dams, good source of prevention of STIs. There's a myth that's going around, I've heard, that some people think that you won't get an STI if you urinate, wash, or douche after sex. Can you debunk that myth for us?
That's a myth. Urinating, washing, and douching, we actually don't recommend douching for teens, but they have nothing to do with preventing STIs. As we talked about before, the most effective way to prevent STIs would be, one, not to have sex, but if you've decided and chosen to engage in sexual activity, to use a barrier like a condom or a dental dam.
Okay. So if we can get into a little bit more conversation about use of condoms. to prevent STIs. There's some questions or myths that have come up regarding condoms. You know, one reason people don't, you know, reason that people don't use condoms is that they think that it reduces the comfort during sexual intercourse. Can you talk a little bit about that myth?
So I think that condoms have evolved over the years. There are many different kinds of condoms, and actually some are marketed to enhance pleasure during sexual intercourse. But do you know what's not comfortable? It's obsessing whether or not you've contracted an STI after you've had sex. So I think that when you put those two side by side and comparing and contrasting, that you should try out different types of condoms and find one that works the best for you.
Now, can you use condoms with oral sex, or is it just the dental dams that are the preferred method of prevention?
No, you could absolutely use condoms for oral sex. In fact, they make some condoms specifically for oral sex. Those are flavored condoms. And so you could talk to your healthcare provider or look in the stores for them. I'm sure that they're sold, but they are recommended for oral sex.
Are condoms expensive? Because I'm wondering if that may be a barrier for some people not using condoms, is the concern about the expense and availability.
So condoms are available. They're widely available. Grocery stores, drug stores, and they're quite inexpensive. However, if you are on a tight budget, there are clinics here in Howard County that will provide condoms at reduced cost or no cost to you.
So we're going to take a brief break, and then we'll be back with Dr. Houston to dispel some more myths.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's time to party! Woo!
What a party! My head is spinning and spinning.
I do believe you set a record for margaritas.
What's your name again? Bob? Bill? I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm Brad, the nice guy that you just met.
Hey, Brad, let's go upstairs. There's an empty room up there.
Hey, that's not a good idea.
Oh, but I want to. Wow, my head is spinning and spinning.
Too many margaritas.
Brad, we don't have to go steady. We're just hooking up. I'm spinning and spinning.
Listen, we can make this happen another time after we get to know each other.
Don't be sorry later. For what you can control now.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hi, and welcome back to Teen Health Matters. We're joined by a special co-host today, Jacqueline Bowie. She's a junior at Oakland Mills High School. And we're also here back with our special guest today, Dr. Houston. And I'll turn it over to Jacqueline Bowie to ask Dr. Houston some of our burning questions.
Okay, so one of the questions that we had was, if you've been tested for STIs, have you been tested for all STIs?
That's a really good question. There are not tests for all the STIs. The World Health Organization says that there are over 30 STIs, and we have tests for only a few of them. So you couldn't be tested for all STIs that exist.
That's interesting. I've also heard that all STIs can be cured.
Unfortunately, that's not true. Mm-hmm. STIs that are caused by bacteria, usually around 95 to 99% of the time, can be cured with antibiotics. Mm-hmm. But the viruses that cause STIs, once you have them for life. There are medicines that you could take to help control the symptoms and manage the disease, mm-hmm. but you have it.
Wow. So if I have an STD, I'll just take antibiotics and will it go away?
Well, for those that are caused by bacteria, yes, around 98, 95 to 99% of the time, it will go away. But as we talked about, not all STIs are caused by bacteria. Some are caused by viruses or other organisms, and some of those can't be cured with medicines.
So there's a cure for HIV and AIDS, right?
They're working on it, but right now there isn't a cure. However, there are medicines that you could help manage the disease and help make the symptoms less of HIV. But so far, they still are working on a cure. Mm-hmm.
So if I needed to get tested for STIs, can my healthcare provider test me?
They can. The CDC has some recommendations of which STI should be tested, what group of people should be tested. I think the best way to answer that question is to go to your healthcare provider and not be embarrassed. Have a really open discussion with your healthcare provider about what you're thinking about doing sexually, what you have done sexually, so that the two of you could come up with a testing plan together.
So overall, how can teens help prevent STIs?
Well, the most 100% way to prevent an STI is to not engage in sexual activity. However, if you've made an informed decision, you and your partner have to talk about it. You need to talk about your past partners, what STIs you've been tested for, when you last have been tested, and then have a discussion about when you're going to see your healthcare providers to be screened for STIs now. But even if you get screened for STIs, which I would recommend, it's still important to wear condoms and use dental dams when you're engaging in sexual activity.
When should teens be tested for STIs, and what is involved in the testing, and where can teens go to be treated?
Those are really good questions. I will take them one at a time. I think the first question was, which STI should teens be tested for? Was that the first question?
When should teens be
tested? When should teens? Teens should be tested for STIs. There are many different STIs. So the CDC has several guidelines about when and what STIs should. So as we talked about, Jacqueline, the CDC, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has released some guidelines for when people should be tested. All adults and adolescents should be tested at least once for HIV. They also recommend for women who are sexually active and 25 years and younger should be tested once a year or screened once a year for chlamydia. All women who are sexually active or at risk should have a test or a screen for gonorrhea once a year. It's recommended that if teens are pregnant, that they be screened for syphilis, HIV, chlamydia, and hepatitis B, and gonorrhea the first time they see their doctor for their pregnancy.
So what is involved in STI testing?
There are many different methods of STI testing. Some are urine-based, so you just have to leave a urine sample for your healthcare provider to test. Others are using swabs. Some are healthcare provider. They need to collect the sample with the swabs. And some young women can collect by themselves a vaginal swab. There are also blood tests that could be done to check for STIs. So again, I think a frank and open discussion with your health care provider will help know which tests that you're going to test for, and then you'll be able to have a discussion about which method you're going to use.
Okay. Dr. Sunset has had a follow-up question. Are males and females tested for different STIs, or are they tested for the same STIs?
That's a great question. They are tested for the same STIs, but the testing method might be different. So, for example, while a young female teen could self-administer a vaginal swab, it goes without saying that a young man wouldn't be able to do that. They would have to either urinate in a cup, or they could do a urethral swab. Usually a healthcare provider would do that for them. But it's the same STIs that they're being tested for.
So where can teens go to get treated for STIs, or tested, rather?
So teens could be screened for STIs by their own healthcare provider. If they don't have a healthcare provider, the Howard County Health Center has STD clinics or STI clinics where they could go and receive confidential testing.
Correct.
So what are some effects of having an STI or contracting one?
Unfortunately, the effects of contracting an STI can be very serious. And teen females or teen girls usually have worse consequences, even though studies have shown that the rates of having STIs are similar in both men and young women. If you contract chlamydia and gonorrhea and you don't have that treated, you could raise the risk for a serious condition called pelvic inflammatory disease. And that could cause a lot of abdominal pain. It could lead for infertility or not being able to have babies when you're ready to have babies. Untreated syphilis in pregnant women could cause infant death in up to 40% of the time. And as we talked about, the viral diseases are lifetime. So once you get herpes or HIV, that's something that you have for life. Even though there are medicines to manage the disease, it's something that you will still have.
So where can teens learn more about STI and prevention?
Well, they could listen to you and this podcast on Teen Health Matters. And there's also other reputable places they could go for information, like the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Another good source of information that we talked about a little before in this podcast is going to your healthcare provider or another trusted adult who will give you the facts and not steer you wrong by giving you myths.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
So, Dr. Houston, you know, our podcast is really geared to informing youth, but we also, you know, being a parent, and I know you're a parent as well, I think we also try to put some information out there to inform and educate and empower parents to have the discussion with their teens. So I was wondering, what are your thoughts about, or what information or guidance do you provide to parents about engaging in the conversation? Because it's an important conversation. Because it's true, it's important, I think, youth, but you also talk about the importance of youth having a trusted adult that they can speak with. And hopefully many times, ideally, it will be their parents. I'm just wondering, what are some thoughts about how parents can engage in the conversation with their youth?
So what I would say, it's never too early to start talking about sexuality in an age-appropriate way. So that starts from toddlerhood in calling body parts by their anatomically correct name, so that kids know from an early age what you're talking about, what their body parts do, that it's private, so you're talking about privacy and who has a right or not a right to approach your private areas. And so you get them comfortable talking about sexuality with you in an appropriate space, so that when they get older, you are still talking about things in an age-appropriate way. That, so for example, for school-age children, you'd be talking about what's appropriate play, what's inappropriate play, when do you need to tell a trusted adult if someone is touching your private areas that you feel uncomfortable. You, even in school age children, you could start talking about consent. So this would be sort of like tickling. If you're uncomfortable with people tickling you, you say no. And if they don't stop, you know, what are things that you could do to have that conversation? So again, at each stage of development, you start talking about sexuality in an open and confidential way, so that when they're teenagers, it is not or less awkward to start talking about sexuality in the context of sexual activity.
So, Dr. Houston, what would you recommend for a teenager who doesn't have a trusted adult to go to? How would they go about getting screenings for STIs?
That's a great question. I would start with your healthcare provider. One, because the care is confidential, and that they wouldn't be embarrassed. So that you, even if it might feel embarrassing for a young person or a teen, they could ask any question knowing that the healthcare provider is not going to tell someone in most circumstances. There are a few circumstances where a healthcare provider would need to tell if you're going to hurt yourself or you want to hurt somebody else. But otherwise, the information would be confidential and you would know it would be correct. They would give you facts about what your questions are asking.
And I think it's important. I think that's very important. And you also brought up a very good question, Jacqueline. But I think it's also important if teens aren't aware that most states have what are called minor consent laws. So, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm a pediatrician, but, you know, sometimes I don't dabble in it as much like you're an adolescent specialist. So they're the laws that allow youth to seek services without the permission of their parents. So let's say hopefully you have a good relationship with your parent, but sometimes it's still difficult, right, for your mom or dad or guardian to talk about the topic. But under minor consent laws, that's something you can talk to a healthcare provider. You can come to the Howard County Health Department and get confidential services, and even without having parental consent, even though most healthcare providers would try to encourage you to talk with a trusted adult or your provider. So that's also something that most teens aren't aware of, that they can access services even without parental consent. Okay, so Dr. Houston, you've mentioned the healthcare provider is an important resource for teens to talk to about STIs and sexuality. Is that part of the normal teen visit? Is that something that teens should be expecting when they go to their provider?
Yes. Just like a healthcare provider talks about diet and friends and school, sexuality and sexual development is a part of every annual exam for a teen. They may ask questions that you may be embarrassed answering, but it's really to make sure that they're looking at the teen as a whole person and just not focusing on one area. They want to make sure that you are healthy in every way and provide the teen with factual information about all aspects that are important to a teen's normal development.
So before we wrap up today, Dr. Houston, is there any additional information that you'd like to share with us, or you think maybe to sum up today's discussion?
So I think to sum up today's discussion, I think it's great, Jacqueline, that you are here participating in this podcast. I think that all teens should be comfortable asking questions even before they've begun to consider becoming sexually active. But it's never too late to ask questions. Even if you are sexually active, you could always go to your healthcare provider. Know that your healthcare provider is not going to be embarrassed by any question that you ask. And I would seek advice from a trusted adult so that you could get the facts and not be trapped in myths.
So thank you. It's been wonderful to talk with you, Dr. Houston. And also want to give a special thank you to our special guest co-host today, Jacqueline Bowie. If any of you need more information about this topic, STIs, want to learn more about how to free and confidential testing, you can contact the Howard County Health Department at 410-313-7500. And thanks for listening to this episode of Teen Health Matters. And just wanted to just let everyone know that April is STD Awareness Month. And thank you for listening.